In 1 Peter, first chapter, beginning down about verse 18, he said, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." The psalmist said that the price of a soul is precious, that it ceases forever. There's not enough precious metals in the entire planet to equal the value of one human soul. Not. There was only one thing precious enough, valuable enough to buy us. And that was the precious blood of the spotless Lamb. And God willingly gave His Son, and the Son willingly gave His life and His blood. And He has redeemed us. Which reveals to us our value. God's not dumb. He's not paying $1 trillion for a $5 item. And the next time the devil tries to bring thoughts and feelings to you that you're not worth much. And he does it every opportunity he gets. Especially if you've messed up and made mistakes. You need to immediately respond and go, "Well, how come? Why did the Creator pay the highest price for us that's ever been paid for anything?" He sees value, right? And He's right. And if He says you're valuable enough to pay the blood of the Lamb to get, then you are. And I am. Come on, somebody say, "I am precious in His sight."
In His sight. Yes, sir.
Well, he said you wasn't redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain, useless conversation or lifestyle that was received by tradition from your fathers. Now, he's talking about religious tradition. And this is one of the most devastating, dangerous things on the planet. It is a replacement for the Word of God. And has, in the lives and hearts and minds of millions, made the Word of God of none effect in their life. Keep going, the next verse. But we have been redeemed, we are redeemed, bought, purchased, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There's only one. And there has only ever been the one that could do this. And He is, you can call Him now, your Lord and your brother. That makes you somebody. Because you know somebody. Who claims you and acknowledges you. One of the greatest things that we'll experience is in time to come when you and I are acknowledged that our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and Jesus confesses our name before the Father and His angels. We should thank God every day and every night. You know, that's what, you remember when He authorized and empowered the disciples and sent them out, you know, and gave them authority over demons and disease, and they came back and they said, "Jesus, wow, even the demons are subject to us in Your name." And I'm paraphrasing. He said, yeah, but let me tell you what you ought to really be excited about. That your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ah, somebody say, my name.
My name.
Now, are you hearing what we're talking about?
Yeah.
You got your own line.
Yeah.
In the book. The eternal book. Because in that day, there's going to be a lot of people who are not found in that book. And they will be lost and they're not saved. And Jesus is going to confess your name and my name that's in that book. But that's why he said, if you won't confess me before men, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. But if you'll confess me.
Yes, sir.
Huh? You confess me before men. Then that's why we encourage and we tell people you need to make a public confession. Is that right?
Amen.
And even if you receive the Lord in your bedroom by yourself, as soon as you get out of the house, you need to tell somebody. Is that right? And you know you need to keep telling somebody and never be ashamed of the Lord. He hung on the cross in front of the whole world for you and me. We can speak up for him. Not to try to push him off on somebody, but never will we be ashamed. Huh? Or embarrassed of who he is and what he has done for us. It's the greatest thing in our existence. And we will not hesitate to declare it and confess it. Hallelujah. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whew. Read back in Revelation sometime about that, and it'll just stir you and bless you all over again. And you'll get a revelation of what's going to soon happen. And there are going to be multiplied millions out there in front of the throne. And there's the great white throne judgment, and there's the judgment seat of Christ. But the big, big deal is when they open the book of life. And only those that are in that book go forward with God into eternity. My name. I got a line. Huh? You got a line? Huh? Is someone there that says Andrew?
Yes.
Yep. Hallelujah. Now you notice that he keeps using this word precious. Precious. Now this is a word that the devil hates. And he has slandered this word. And he has mocked it. And you'll hear, whether it's comedians or whether it's unbelievers or whoever, you know, snarl in the phrase, isn't that precious? Precious is a good word.
Yeah.
It's a word of God. And you want to get that junk completely away from you and out of you. The word means extremely valuable. That's what it means. Not just valuable. Extremely valuable. Very, very valuable. Highly valuable. Which is why the word, he didn't just say it's valuable. He said it's precious. We use this word to describe some of our most precious commodities.
Yeah.
Precious metals.
That's right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Precious stones.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's used exactly that way in the scriptures. And so, look at the context again. He's letting us know human beings call silver and gold precious. But it's not even valuable compared to what bought you. Huh? Huh? It's corruptible. All of these things down here on the earth, they are going to melt with fervent heat. They're going to be gone one day. But that blood is speaking off the mercy seat. And it always will. And for all those who have received him and been washed by that blood. That blood proclaims over you and I, innocent. Innocent. Righteous. Righteous. Holy. Holy. Woo. Somebody say the precious blood of the spotless Lamb has redeemed me and has made me clean, has washed me, has made me holy. Ooh, hallelujah. You and I could never make ourselves holy enough to be accepted. We couldn't make ourselves righteous enough. But the blood has. Not going to. Has. The blood has made me. Oh, somebody needs to say it. The blood has made me righteous. Made me clean. Made me holy. I remember a big guy looked at me one time. You could tell he had lived a rough life. He said, yeah, but preacher, you don't know what I've done and what I've been. I said, yeah, and you don't know how powerful the blood is. Your sin is not bigger than the blood. Mm-mm. The blood is more powerful by far than any grievous mistake and failure you have ever made or ever will make. The only way it would be too much is if you wouldn't receive forgiveness. If you wouldn't put faith in the blood. Otherwise, can't get too big. I'm clean. I'm righteous. I'm made holy. I didn't earn it. I didn't achieve it. The blood has made me. Made me. Somebody say precious, precious. Verse 23, being born again. Can you see all these things go together? He's talking about the blood. He's talking about being redeemed. He's talking about being born again. Born again, not of corruptible seed. Because he talked about the silver and gold was corruptible thing. And we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. The word is called incorruptible seed. His word is seed. Have you read in Galatians and in Romans where Jesus himself is called the seed? Hallelujah. The seed. And how he said in the book of John, if a seed of wheat remains alone, by itself, it bears nothing else. It doesn't multiply. But if it falls into the ground and dies, he's talking about himself. It brings forth much fruit. Hallelujah. Every one of us born again, we're harvest off of God's greatest seed. Amen. Huh? Jesus is God's seed. His own life and blood is Jesus' own seed. And he sowed it. Gave it up. Let himself die and be buried. Oh, but death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. Sin couldn't hold him. Judgment couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. And in the miraculous, which is just like every seed, you plant a seed, and part of it dies, that outer shell and all of that, but there's an embryo inside there. Hallelujah. And in the right conditions, that thing has a miracle. We're used to it, but every plant, there are no plants without seed. There are no animals without seed. There are no people without seed. And there are no Christians without the seed. Saved by seed. Saved by the sea. Huh? But this extends into every corner of our life. Because all of the word is seed. Incorruptible seed. Can't be corrupted. Can't rot. Can't be diseased. Can't die. Can't fail. Every one of God's words that come out of his mouth is an incorruptible, eternal seed. And it has within it miraculous things. I mean, have you ever held an acorn in your hand and looked at the tree it came from? All of that was in there. It just needed to be released. It just needed to be placed in the right conditions. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God is that way. When God speaks, it's not just to let you know what he's thinking or how he feels. It's not just for communication. When he speaks, he creates. When he speaks, he changes. And one of the best things you can do for yourself and everybody around you and me is to get a greater revelation of the power of his words and to esteem them more and more and more. That's something that greatly differentiates us from a lot of other church-going people. And that's why people will scratch their head and they wonder, you flew how far? And spent how much to go sit in church? And hear preaching and teaching? And you'll sit there for an hour and a half and 2 hours and 3 hours? Huh? Huh? I mean, they can't fathom it. Why? Because they don't value it. And if you don't value it and esteem it, you won't experience the benefits of it. That if you don't, then you're not the kind of ground where the miracle is released in. You remember how much Jesus taught about what we call the parable of the seed, the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, those places? This is huge. That revelation is gigantic. It covers every kind of person in every generation. It covers the results of everybody everywhere. And you remember, a lot of those types of ground, those three of those types of ground, got no results. Zero. Why? Not the right ground. Not the right conditions. You know that's true in the natural. A seed has to have the right conditions.
That's right.
I know talking about this and looking up a few things, seeds are amazing. One of the oldest on record is the seed of a date palm that was found in Israel that was over 2,000 years old. They planted it and it germinated. Woo! 2,000 years old. It was just waiting. Huh? It was waiting for a good warm reception. In some good fertile soil. Huh? With some good moisture and some good water.
Yes,
you remember that Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. All of his words are just pregnant and rich with life and untold ability and miracles. Hallelujah. And thank God, you and I, we may have more respect for the word than a lot of people do, but have we arrived at realizing what the word is and esteeming it, we have not arrived. Notice with me in, he keeps saying, born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever, for all flesh is as grass. Here he's talking about corruptible. And all the glory of man is like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falls away. That is everything you can see and touch in this realm. It's like grass. It's here for a little while. Verse 25, but, and so it's going to become increasingly clear you did not waste your time going to good meetings and spending time in the Bible and praying and feeding on His Word. Why? Because that all that natural stuff is going to be long gone and forgotten, but that Word will still be in you. It'll still be working in you and producing more and more and greater and greater. The Word of the Lord endures
forever.
And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached to you. Oh, somebody say hallelujah.
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 Phyllis has mentioned this. I've been stirred up about the gospel more than I've ever been. Somebody says, the gospel, isn't that, hadn't you known that a long time? Oh, honey child. The gospel is it.
Yeah.
It's the power of God unto salvation to everybody that believes. The gospel. Put up on the screen, if you would, Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. He didn't say everybody would believe it. He didn't say everybody would receive it. But they'll hear it.
Yes.
They'll know about it. Yes. And it'll be a witness. And nobody can say, God, you didn't give me a chance. And this will happen in all the world for a witness unto all nations. This is every people, every kindred, every tongue, everywhere. And then shall the end come. Now we know this hasn't happened yet, or the end would have come.
Hmm?
You'll hear people say, well, oh, Brother Keith, you know, the gospel's been preached, you know, for all these centuries and all over the world. Obviously not. This has not happened. Or the end would come, just like the Master said. And in seeking the Lord about this, Brother Hagin, senior, who's in heaven now, in the early days of his ministry, he was reading in Mark 16 where it said, you know, these signs will follow them that believe. And so he got concerned about it, said, Lord, we're not seeing all these signs like you talk about. And he got to praying and fasting and saying, Lord, what about this? And you know, the Lord confirmed the word with signs following. And after a few days, he said, the Lord interrupted me and said, check up on what you're preaching. What does that mean? He pointed out to him, confirming the word.
Yes.
Wow, that's it.
What word? He just got through saying the gospel.
Amen.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's the word. They went everywhere and preached that word, that gospel. And the Lord was working with them, confirming that word, that gospel, with signs following. The Lord is not obligated to confirm everything we decide to preach. Never has been. Huh? Just because you and I have an idea? He's not obligated to confirm any of that. He said He would confirm His word, and specifically He's talking about the gospel. Go with me to Romans 10, if you would. And I didn't intend to preach this tonight. But here we are. Huh? And it is good. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 10 is a passage of scripture that we that are called Word of Faith, it's one of our favorites. And we got it all marked up, and that's good. And verse 17, anybody got Romans 10? 17 marked? Huh? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's blessed us and helped us for decades now. But back up and get the context. Back up and get the context. He was talking in verse 8 about the word being near you in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith, which we preach, that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And verse 11, whoever believes on him will not be ashamed. Verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then it says, how will they call on him in whom they've not believed? How will they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that do what? So when he talks about word of faith, he's talking about the gospel. I said, when he's talking about word of faith, he's talking about the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, this is a definition of the gospel. What is the gospel? This is a big question. And all kind of folks around the world have gotten it wrong. You and I want to get it right. Jesus said, this gospel. Did you hear that phrase? This gospel. What gospel? The gospel he himself preached. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. So did Paul. So did Peter. So did those guys. Same gospel. In fact, you remember how adamant Paul was about it, writing to the Galatians. If we ourselves are an angel coming down from heaven, preaches any other gospel than what you got from us originally, let him and them be damned and accursed. I mean, you can't say it any stronger than that. What do you mean? Why is this so serious? Because the devil has infiltrated. And people are preaching all kind of stuff and calling it the gospel, and it is not the gospel. Because the devil is scared of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And he can't stop somebody from being saved and delivered out of the power of darkness if they hear the gospel and believe the gospel and act on the gospel. Nothing can stop them from being delivered and saved and healed. So what he has done, and far too successfully, he has adulterated it. He has contaminated it. He has mixed up religious ideas and called it the gospel. Go ahead, everybody, say out loud, Father God, open my eyes to see the gospel. What Jesus called this gospel of the kingdom. I ask it in Jesus' name. And friend, there's no end to amazing revelation about the gospel. It goes on. 100 million years from now, we will be shouting about the gospel. But what is it? Have you heard how much the world talks about taking us to church? You know, you see people stand up and sing the most absurd and even lewd stuff, and because it was slow and done with feeling, they took us to church. I don't know what church you're talking about, but it ain't funny, because people don't know God well enough To think that something like that is like, oh, that's the gospel truth. And a lot of times this guy's so wrong. Bunch of religious junk and all the gospel truth. Just because you say it doesn't make it so. Notice he said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What is the gospel? The literal definition, good news or good report or good message. But good. Here's something that'll help you get it straight and keep it straight. If it ain't good, it ain't the gospel. Huh? I'm telling you, if it's not good, it is not the gospel. Good, the word good report is actually specifically used in the following verse, referring to the same thing. Gospel. It could be translated gospel there as well, and some translations have it that way. It says, how beautiful. Somebody say, how beautiful. Are the feet of them that preach the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Do you appreciate whoever brought you the gospel?
Yes.
When you got saved, when you got born again. Are you thankful for them?
Yes.
Huh? Because whenever that was and wherever that was, there were all kind of people on the planet that didn't care and weren't involved in it, but they were. And they did. Somebody obeyed God.
Amen.
Somebody answered a call. Somebody overcame their flesh weaknesses and whatever it was and didn't quit and whatever. And they were there and they preached it and you heard it.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
And now you are saved. You would not have been without the gospel. No one is saved without the gospel. No one, not a single human being, will be saved without the gospel. God has ordained that that's how human beings are saved. That's His choice. Whether you like it or don't, that's how it is. And it's only that way. And here it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. The gospel will make you glad. The gospel will not depress you. The gospel will not scare you. The gospel will not condemn you. The gospel is good news. And it will make you glad. You believe it or not? I'm looking at you. Can you already begin to see people are preaching a lot of stuff called the gospel, but it's not. Because it's not good news. It's not. He said, they have not all obeyed what? The gospel. What's the theme of this passage here? The gospel. They've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Now here the word report is the same word that's referring to gospel, and it's the same word that's in the next verse.
Yeah, that's right.
Look it up, you'll see what I'm talking about. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the report.
That's right.
Is what the literal is. What report? The gospel. It literally says faith comes by hearing the gospel. The good news. That's what stirs you. That's what quickens you. That's what illuminates you. What's the good news? You going to hell if you don't change? That's bad news. I said that's bad. That's bad news. Is it? Bad news. Now, if people reject the gospel, you have to give them some bad news. Huh? Right? But don't give them the bad news first. Give them the good news. And then if they receive it, you got no bad news. for them. Somebody say, this gospel, this gospel. Oh, hallelujah. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the report, the rhema of the Christos, the anointed spoken word of the good news. That's what he was talking about, all the verses leading up to it. Now, what people have changed, what religion has changed the gospel to, is a message of suffering. In many instances, they talk about the cross, and they talk about the suffering. And then they talk about how you should suffer, and how we have to suffer. And that is not the gospel. I said, that is not the gospel. We say, yeah, but they're talking about the cross. Yeah, but it's not good news. The good news is what the suffering of Christ obtained for us. That's the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. How that he was made sin. Him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. See, just a few years ago, people scoffed and mocked and said, how dare you? I mean, religious entities, leaders and denominations said, who do you think you are saying you're righteous? That's the gospel. It's the gospel. Can you see how far off folks have gotten? And the so-called church, that they're indignant that somebody mentions the word righteous in connection with themselves. We didn't say we attained righteousness. We're not saying we earned righteousness. We're not saying we became by any effort of our own. We're quoting Scripture. Yes. New Testament. Yes. Scripture. Yes. Jesus. Yes. He had never sinned. And in him is no sin. But he became sin with my sin, so that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you see how your spirit responds to that? Your spirit goes, yes, 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 yeah. What is that, good news, or is that good news? It's good news. And when you hear it, it gives you faith. It quickens you. It enlightens you. It empowers you. When you hear that and you receive it, faith comes. Yes. Faith comes.
Amen. Thank you.
And area after area after area, Jesus didn't just go to the cross in spirit. He went spirit, soul, and body. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. He carried my pains. And by his stripes... Is that good news?
Yes.
Is that good news?
Yes.
God may be working something out through cancer in your life. He may be teaching you. Huh? That's not good news. That's not the gospel. Well, he suffered, so you're going to have to. Not from what he redeemed me from. Now, yeah, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they will suffer persecution. Not the curse of the law. Persecution is not the same as cancer. Persecution, not the same as poverty. And though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Is that good news, or is that good? That's good news. Most of the church doesn't believe that. Most of the church won't preach that. And yet, it is the gospel. I had a guy take me to task years ago when I was working at the healing school at Brother Hagin's ministry. Wrote me this ugly letter. And he said, we don't preach all that healing junk like y'all preach. We just preach the gospel. Sad. They think they know so much about it. But, you know, the Bible said in Acts that when Paul and his company came, where is it, Lystra? And it says there they preached the gospel. And right after that, a man got faith to be healed. If you're preaching, he said, from what he heard, the scripture said. So if nobody gets faith to be healed from what you're preaching, it ain't the same gospel Paul preached. When Jesus preached, people got faith to be healed. They got faith to be delivered. Is that right? When Jesus preached, when Paul preached, they did. When Peter preached, they did. Can you see what the deal is? The gospel has not been preached. But as soon as it is, we're out of here. As soon as this gospel, which makes your and my mission urgent. That's weak. I said, your and my mission is what? What's our job? You and I will soon be out of here one way or the other. What must we do? What's our job? Go into all this world. Is that right? And preach. What? What? What is the gospel? It's the good news of all the good things our good God accomplished for us in the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything He got for us. Everything we now have in Him. Everything we are in Him. The in Him, in Christ. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And that's why healing is not a side message. It's part of the gospel. Abundance is not a side message. It's part of the gospel. And a lot of people are ashamed of the gospel. They don't realize it. They'd fuss with you. They'd argue with you about it. But they won't preach it. They want to distance themselves from folks like me. But they just don't know how much fun it is over here. Or they'd want to join right away. Right away. Go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. So much for these notes I had. 1 Corinthians 1. Somebody say, this gospel. This good news. Hallelujah. Glad tidings of good things. That's what we should be putting all of our resources, all of our time into, all of our efforts. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. There was some question about who had baptized who over there in Corinth, and Paul is helping them to get over that. He said, Christ didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. Yeah. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Not depending on intellectual reasoning. He's depending on when he preaches and teaches the gospel in full faith, that the Holy Spirit shows up and confirms everybody that believes it and acts on it. And he, in verse 18, he said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, I'm really actually still connected with where we started. Because he's talking about precious. He was talking about precious blood. He's talking about precious, incorruptible word. Precious value. The human heart is revealed by what it holds precious. Good or bad. And it results in lost or saved. It's the Lord quickened something to me about this recently that I'm going to make a strong statement here in just a moment, and you'll see what I'm talking about, but it's absolutely the Bible. It's absolutely the truth. Do a lot of people hold what we do as foolish. Hmm? Yeah, they do. They mock it. They make fun of it. Brother Jesse Duplantis, he and Miss Kathy, they believed for one of those planes that you just saw. This would have been back, 90s or something, you remember? They called us, let us know they got it. And it was 20 years old or something, but they were thrilled. We were thrilled. They flew it into an airport not too far from here, said, could we come see it and pray over it and that kind of thing? We said, oh, yeah. So we got over there, and we got up in it, and we're sitting there putting our hands on it and thanking God and praying over it. And when we came out, there was a young man standing there who worked there at what they call the FBO, the fixed base operators. And he was red in the face. And he had greeted myself and Jesse when we came up. He knew us. And he had listened to our ministry. And he was excited about it. And he said, Brother Keith, I'm thinking about just going over there and letting that guy have it. I said, why? What are you talking about? You could sense strife in there. He said, they're over there laughing and mocking and making fun of you and Brother Jesse, saying, what in the world does a preacher need with an airplane? And he said, I've had it with him. And as I said, no, brother, no. You hit him, and then what? That ain't going to help you. It ain't going to help us. I said, no. And something came right up out of my spirit that I had never said or even thought. But it came right up out of my spirit. I said, they just see no value in what we do. They see no value at all. And what they're saying, that money would be spent with so much better use helping the poor. This could have been sold and given to the poor, which is a quote from the scripture. But not from Jesus. Anybody know who said that? Judas Iscariot, right before he betrayed Jesus and sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And John talked about it not because he even cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And he wanted the money in the bag so he could access it and steal it. Well, why am I talking about this? Because when people say these things, they are revealing themselves much more than they mean to. And this is not for us to fuss about. This is actually quite sad. Are you looking at this verse right here? He said, the preaching of the cross, verse 18, is what? Foolishness to who? To who? Perish is the same word as perdition, destruction, and hell. If somebody really values the gospel, anybody that's helping get the gospel out, their feet will be beautiful to them. Can you see that? And they will not begrudge them any tool or resource to help get this gospel out. And if a person does, if they see no value and they scoff and they mock, it indicates they are lost. They are lost. And sadly, a number of these folk go to church. But they're not hearing the gospel. They're hearing religion. Can you see this or not? Anybody that treats the gospel like it's nothing, like it's a waste of resources. Can you see when the woman brought the alabaster box of ointment that we were talking about and she broke it on Jesus? And Judas said, what a waste. What a waste. This could have been sold and given to the poor. Wasted on who? Wasted on Jesus? Wasted on the Word? Isn't He the Word made flesh? This is more serious than we've even realized. than I had. When people say such things, you got to wonder, are they on their way to destruction? This is, it's not for us to get indignant and how dare you talk about me and you don't even know me. Forget about all that. Are they lost?
Yes.
Are they lost? Yes. Are they on their way to destruction?
Yes.
Why? Because anybody that's been born again was born again by the gospel. And anybody that's really been born again, you would never say a negative thing about the gospel. And you would never try to hurt or limit or hinder anybody that's getting the gospel out. You want them to have every tool, every resource, every right, because time's running out. The directive is not go into all the world and feed people or clothe people. As good as it is, that is not the Great Commission. And one of the reasons why God never intended that any human beings be dependent on other human beings. He wants everybody. It's all right to help people, but never let them look to you as their provider and their source. You ain't big enough. They need more. You want to get them to God. Get them to your source, your provider. God is the only one that can meet everybody's needs. It's all right to help people, but do not let them make you their source. So what do they need? Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what did you profit? The greatest need of human beings is not something to eat. It's not. That's important, but it's not their greatest need. Why? A far bigger thing. I mean, if you're saved and you starve to death, you go to heaven. Is that right? If you don't have a place to sleep out of the weather and you freeze to death, if you're saved, you're okay. But if you got the best house and the most food and you're lost, you didn't accomplish one thing in your whole life. The whole thing was a waste and the whole thing was lost. And the only thing that can save you is faith in Jesus, and you won't even know to do it, believe it, until you hear the gospel. He said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. And you will find people right and left that talk about it that way, they treat it that way, they just, such disrespect, you know, I heard somebody the other day, you know, they put in an article, faith healer. And you could just hear the disdain in their voice. Well, in times past, it might come across my mind, you know, they don't know us. Never even heard us and don't care. That ain't the issue. Are they lost? It sounds like you're lost, right? Because if you weren't, you'd have respect for the gospel. And anybody preaching it, their feet would be beautiful to you. And so if you don't, you're on your way to destruction. You're on your way to perdition. If you're mocking and deriding, and you can see that's who the devil is. He is a defamer. He is a demeaner. He is a degrader. He's always trying to run. I mean, there are no cuss words designed to edify you. They're all to what? Names, slander, to what? Put you down, bring you down, try to make you think less of yourself. And that's the devil all the time. He's, you know, oh, that's nothing. There's nothing to that. And you've seen in the last 50 years, this world hadn't got better. And you'll see that people, you know, oh, whatever. Whatever. No big deal. No biggie. Nothing. Who cares? That is the way of the world. Nothing's important. Nothing significant. But when you get to God and you begin to learn His ways, you begin to learn honor. And honor is valuing things. Hallelujah. And when you value His things, it opens up your heart and your being for Him to give you more. Yes. Hallelujah. That's why he said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. What does that mean? Don't give precious, valuable things to people who don't value them, who don't appreciate them, who mock them. And I know you want to, especially if it's family or co-workers. You want to just shake them and go, receive Jesus. You better. Doesn't work that way. I said it doesn't work that way. What they should see, every time they're around you at all, they should see how much you respect God. How much you revere Him. How much you honor Him. Hallelujah. How much you honor Him. And that gets off on people. And even if they don't understand it or agree with it, it'll come back to them when they're laying across their bed. And they'll think, you know, I don't think they're putting on. They really, you know, they talk about God like they know Him. They talk about His things like they're the most astounding, amazing things in the universe. They just... And then some people say, oh, they're a cult. They're a cult, you know. Stay away from them. Now, again, somebody that would say that, every indication they are lost. They're being destroyed. They're on their way to perdition. And so, no, our love toward them shows we value them. And that shows God values them. And even while we were His enemies, when we were His enemies, He loved us and died for us and redeemed us. And that's what He calls us to do. And treating somebody valuable. I know Phyllis years ago, she worked in doctor's offices. And she actually had her own business for a while consulting. And they'd pay her big bucks to come in and straighten out everything. She always had that grace. I mean, you put her in charge of a train wreck, she'll have it alphabetized and categorized by the end of the week. And thank God. Whoa, thank God. But she would she'd hire a lot of ladies that worked in the office there, and she'd hire sinners. I mean, that were sinners. And in a few weeks or months, they'd be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes she'd come dragging them into the house, and boy, they were a mess. And she'd say, Keith, would you go over there and play the piano for them? You know, like she wants the anointing to come into the room. And I know she had one lady she brought in there, and she had been awake. How long? I mean, days she had been awake, couldn't sleep. I don't know, with drugs, problems at home, bad husband, all kind of stuff. And she brought her in there, and boy, she looked a mess. And she propped her down on the couch and came and got me. And she said, Keith, would you come play? And I said, I knew what was going on. I said, okay. And I just started playing and started singing. Next thing you know, you could hear her snoring. She is out. And Phyllis roused her and got her to a room. She slept for, I don't know, 18 hours or whatever it was. But when she came out, she's a different person. Well, that's just caring about somebody. Amen. Right? Treating them like they matter. Amen. Caring if they exist or not. And this value thing is what the Lord was talking about when He says precious. And that's when He said in the Psalms, nobody could pay for a soul or to stop, you know, them from dying or being lost. But the blood could. And it did. And that's our message to everybody. Hallelujah. Value Him. Value them. Love each other as I have loved you. Value each other like I have valued you. Be willing to sacrifice for each other. Give to each other like I have done for you. And He said, by this will all men know. Not by how much scripture you quote or how loud you talk in tongues in front of them, but by this will all men know that you are my disciples. Stand on your feet, everybody. Oh, praise God. Thanks be to God. Oh, just lift your hands. Thank the Lord for saving you. If it not for the grace of God, you and I'd be just as disrespectful as all these other folks. But God had mercy on us and allowed us to see. Let me lead you in a prayer. Say, Father God, enable me to see and discern and to hear your precious things, your precious people, your precious spirit and word and all of your things through your eyes, that I may see how important they are, how great they are, how honorable and precious and extremely valuable they are. Forgive me for any time I've slighted things or ignored things. I don't want to do that. That's not my heart. Reveal to me your honor, the honor of God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.